want to share a little bit about continuing on with our theme of Heaven Invades and in the subtext, Liberating Lives, Creating Change. And I want to talk about a mystery. The Bible talks about many mysteries. Some of you might like mysteries. Some people like murder mysteries. They like trying to solve puzzles or clues or doing all sorts of things. People like mysteries of some sort. Bible talks about many different mysteries. It talks about marriage being a mystery. And it is. It's a mystery. It's a process of learning and discovery, a wonderful thing, marriage. And the mystery of it actually being like a model or to be modeled on the relationship of Christ and his church. The Bible calls that a mystery. It talks about the mystery that salvation wasn't just for the Jews, but was actually for all people. The Bible says that was a mystery that was being unfolded. The riches that we have in Christ, the Bible calls that a mystery. But what I want to talk about is that the mystery the scripture talks about, which is Christ in us. Talk about heaven invading. Well, there's nothing more powerful than when we have the Lord coming and living in our heart and within our lives. And so I want to look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. And it says this: to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as many of us may have read that, and maybe many of us have heard that, and we've heard about that, we've heard about when we give our life to Christ, we invite Jesus into our heart. But I think the reality of what actually this means doesn't always translate in our daily lives or our understanding and our working of the things of God in our life. What does it actually mean? Christ in us, the hope of glory, this glorious riches of this mystery. And so it's still, there's a growing wisdom, there's a growing unfolding and understanding. And part of us being Christians is we learn more and more about the amazing riches that we have in Christ. I'm talking about financial riches. I'm talking about the wonder and the splendor, the glory of everything that Christ is and what he's imparted and gives to us in our lives. And so there's an unfolding of an understanding, and certainly that's what your Christian walk is about. You learn more and more about how wonderful God is, how much God loves us. We'll never fully understand the depths of his love because it's too great for our human comprehension. He loves us so much. But the heart of God and the wonder and the mystery, the glory of that, it's such a beautiful thing. And so Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, Galatians 2:20, it says this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. So we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins in our place, took the punishment that we deserve, which we saw very clearly portrayed when you saw that Billy Graham film on the cross. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now we're going to talk about what does it actually mean, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, that's here and now. So this is not when you die. This is not when you're in eternity. This is what you're living right now, every day, every breath, every day that you're alive. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And so there's something about Christ in us, Christ living in me, Christ living in you. And to understand that and to get more of a handle on that. And I pray that we'll have more of an understanding of this mystery today, that the Christ living in us. And I know the story of a little child who was told that, you know, gave their heart to the Lord and now Jesus was living in them. And the poor child was saying, get him out, didn't quite understand with a child understanding of the concept of Jesus living in us. But the reality is many of us are a little bit like that. We don't understand Jesus living in us. We understand half the story, but we don't understand what that means. And I pray that we have a greater understanding. Romans 8, 9 to 11 is a great passage which goes through and it uses different terminology. Because some of you hear about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we hear about the Spirit of Christ, and maybe some people get confused. Okay, so there's a Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ, and the Bible also talks about a Spirit of God, and maybe you can get a little bit confused. Hang on, what are we talking about? Well, this passage actually shows us that all those terms are interchangeable. It says in Romans 8, 9 to 11, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Remember, we talked about that last week about being set free. You're not controlled by sin anymore. You're not a slave to sin. You're not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. So the Spirit of God. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, which we know is the Holy Spirit, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Now, there's a lot of different terminology using here, but what's the important part of this passage, understand, all of those terms and phrases are all interchangeable. Where it talks about the Spirit of God, talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of Christ. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And so Christ dwells within our heart by the Holy Spirit living within our heart. And so don't be confused as you read through the Scripture and you read different terminology, the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. Here this clearly shows us all of those terms are interchangeable. They're all referring to the same person, and I won't say the same thing, because the Holy Spirit is not a thing, he is a person, and we have the person of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within inside our being, which is a mind-blowing concept when you really think about it. We say, well, I know that, I've known that for many, many years, but do we really know that? Because if we knew that, that would certainly moderate our behavior. And I pray, as even though I keep praying for myself, Lord, give me a greater revelation of what it is to have Christ within us. Now, there's some things that we need to understand. First thing that we need to know is that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And if you didn't know that, then after Friday night, then hopefully you'd know that. If you still don't know that, hopefully after this morning you will. And if you still don't know that, come this afternoon and you will definitely know that. Jesus died on the cross. And so we know that Jesus died on the cross and he gave his life for us. We've been singing that this morning. We just sang it just right then. He gave everything for me. He gave his life. So Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life for us. And so he's given his life on the cross for us. So there's a response to that. And in response to that, because he gave his life for me, I come humbly before him. I accept the sacrifice of what he did on the cross, that his blood washed away the sin. I want to turn my life and repent and accept him as my Lord and Savior, to accept that atoning sacrifice of the cross to wipe away my sin. And so because he gave himself for me, then I respond and I give my heart, I give myself to him. And that's half the story. But a lot of people stop there. They accept that Jesus Christ gave himself for them on the cross. And they come to Christ and they humbly kneel before him and they give their life to him. But that's only half the picture. And some Christians have made that transaction. They give their life to Christ, but not understanding the rest of it. Because if we fully understand what really happens with that transaction, then that is what's going to keep us. It's going to keep us strong. It's going to keep us faithful. It's going to keep us on the right track. So that's half the story. But something else happens. So first of all, yep, Jesus gave himself for me. Then so I come to him and I humbly give my life to him. But then the other half is this, and this is where most people just stop there and then they struggle in their walk. They struggle in their life. They wonder why things are tough because they don't understand the second part of what's already happened. This is not an extra get thing. This all happens simultaneously, but we don't always understand the second part. So I've given my life to Christ. And praise God, at that moment, I am saved. As when God looks at me, I am pure, I am righteous, I am holy. It's as if I never sinned. I am justified, just as if I'd never sinned. I'm justified, I'm holy, I'm righteous as far as God sees me. And that's wonderful. And some people go, woohoo, I got my ticket to heaven and off I go. But we've got to remember something else happens at that time. And this is what actually happens. And so Christ, who I gave my life to him, he now comes and he gives his life to me. He gives his life to me. And so I gave my life to him. He gives his life to me. Timothy tells us about guarding what's been deposited, what's been given to us. And so he gives us his life. He comes and dwells in us by the Holy Spirit at that moment, at the point of salvation. So as I said, this happens in a continuum. Sometimes our understanding and outworking, we stop here. But at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now we have Pentecost where there's an infilling. That's a different story. But the indwelling of Christ is in us. He gives us his life. He gives us his holiness. He gives us his righteousness. He gives us his love, his grace, his mercy. He pours himself into us. So the Holy Spirit is now dwelling within my life. What an amazing thing that is. I'm going to talk about what actually does that mean in our life. But he's poured himself. So I gave my life to him, but he not only gave his life for me, he gave his life to me. And because now I have Christ within me, I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, I have the Spirit of the living God living within me, then there's some other thing that happens that needs to happen. And again, and that's where, because some people don't understand this bit, They stray, they wander, they get lost along the way. The other thing that happens now is because he's now given his life to me, I come to this point and I say, Lord, I'm just in awe of who you are. I'm in awe of what you have done for me. I'm in awe, Lord, that you have poured your life into me. And now I choose to live my life for you. I will now live my life for you. And if you haven't given your life to Christ, you can't ever be a good, righteous person. You can't. Forget it. Give up without Christ. No matter how religious you want to be, how moral you want to be, you're never going to reach God's righteous standard. As the scripture says in Isaiah 46, it says that our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And so we can't ever be good enough. But once we've come to Christ, he makes us good enough. He washes away when we receive that, but at the same time is the indwelling of the Spirit of God in my heart and my life. And if I can grasp that, if I can understand a bit more of that, and it's a mystery, we're not going to understand everything about it. I don't understand everything of it. The Lord's still showing me. I'm still learning and growing in the things of God in terms of the Spirit of the living God living within myself. But then as a consequence of that is this choice, is that now I'm going to live my life for him. And my prayer is that we grab a hold of this, because a lot of people will make this part. They're giving their life to Christ. Remember, it should all happen automatically. But some people who don't grab a hold of Christ in me, then they've given their life to Christ. And then from then on, it's a big battle. It's hard being a Christian. Oh, it's a struggle being a Christian. You know, I'm always struggling and always getting this and that and whatever. Temptation will come your way, but you do not have to succumb to that. It doesn't have to be this big epic battle, this big struggle. The only struggle that really it is this understanding, the revelation as our mind is renewed in the things of God, that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And I pray that we grab a hold of that, because having Christ in us is an amazing thing. Salvation is everything to be saved. But salvation is not just for eternity. Salvation is to live this life with Christ, who's given his life not only for us, but to us, and to live a life full of the Spirit of God. And as I said, there's Pentecost, and we'll talk about Pentecost later on, the power of the infilling, but I'm talking about the indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit living within our heart. And so it does change a lot of things. Changes a lot of things, because some people, before they know Christ, they're religious people. They try to do a whole lot of good things and to be good enough that somehow that God will accept them, that somehow on this big scale somewhere that they've imagined, that if my good outweighs the bad, then I'm going to scrape in there. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the gospel says. There's no scraping in there based on our own merit. Purely comes down to Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, and our personal response to that. So the religious mindset is always, and all religions is, it's always reaching up to God and trying to do enough good stuff and trying to stand on, oh, I did something good, I'll go up a little bit higher, trying to do enough good stuff that eventually I can get to God. That's what religion is. And we know Christianity is not religious in the sense of people, man reaching up to God. It's God who's reached down to man in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins. But as Christians, if we are not mindful or not understanding of Christ in me, the hope of glory, what I can end up doing is, even though I've come this far and I know salvation is by grace, I can then start living like a religious person. The studies that we're doing, excellent studies in Grow Group. I can start off in grace, and then I can end up trying to do a whole lot of good things and then stepping up, and God will love me and he'll love me more, and trying to build up, and I've become a religious person. Galatians, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? You started off, you know, in grace, and now you're trying to attain out of your own effort. Crazy thinking, but we can do that. And the reason why we can do that is because we understand the need for salvation. We understand that you know what, Jesus died on the cross. We understand that we've got to give our life to him. But the understanding that he gave his life to us, and therefore that we can now live for him, we struggle and we can end up with a religious mindset, and certainly we don't want to do that. The thing about having Christ in us is that it enables me to live my faith rather than this quest of me trying to do all this stuff in my own strength. You know, I've come to Christ, and now that I know that there's a godly life, there's a Christian life, there's a way of living in the Bible. So I'm saved now. Okay, I'm going to try to live this godly life. And if we're not walking out of this, the revelation of Christ in us that enables us to live for him, then we're going to be just as religious as anybody else. And so we need this revelation. It says in Philippians 2, 12 to 13, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you according to his good purpose." And so Christianity is an inside-out religion. We're not religious in the sense that we're attaining and inspiring to God through good works and serving and doing whatever else. It's because he is within us. For us, it's letting him out. The life that I live in this body now, I live in Christ. And the Christian journey is working out our faith with fear and trembling, with reverence and awe of God who loves us so much, but allowing him to come forth and be formed in our life and to come out and permeate our whole life and to not only touch us, but to touch others. That's what the Christian walk is all about. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And so it's the outworking of the Christ within us. That's the part that enables us to live a righteous life and a holy life. And people who get caught in the cycle of sin and get always bound up and become a slave to sin is because the revelation of Christ in them hasn't really sunk in. It happened. It happened at salvation. Christ indwelt them by the Holy Spirit. But it's when we don't understand or comprehend or aware of that, that we end up trying to do stuff in our own strength, like we were doing before we knew Christ. And yet it's harder now, because before we just... we're like a lemming running off the cliff. We didn't know what we were doing. We just did what everyone else did, and we didn't understand that was wrong and that was sinful. But now I've come to Christ. Now I know. I know that there's righteous living. I know that there's a godly standard. There's a way that he wants us to live. But unless I'm doing that out of the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to fall into a cycle of sin and condemnation. And in some ways, I can end up worse than I did before, because there I could sin without any guilt. Now, I know that that's wrong. And so there's something about enabling the Lord to work upon our heart and begin to change us from the inside out. And that's certainly what happens when we understand Christ is within us. We all know about the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things, there is no law." And so when Christ is within us, see, you can try to be patient. You can try to do that in your own strength. And you're going to be waiting a long time. And you can try to be joyful, but you're not always going to feel joyful, because sometimes you're going to have a good day and sometimes you're going to have a bad day. And so you can try to do all of that stuff and try to be all these things and loving and kind and all of that, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. Once we're mindful that the Lord is within me, He's outworking in my life, and then it begins to change me from the inside out. In fact, it's a lot less struggle. When you know that I've given my life to Christ and I'm here, but I'm not mindful of Christ in me, then I'm still going to struggle a lot in my life. And you're going to fall and struggle so many times. But as we grow in an understanding of Christ in us, it does a number of things. And I quickly want to go over what those things are. One of the first things about that what it means to us, is having Christ in us, is that we begin to realize that we actually do belong to God. A lot of people are continuously, wanting to get saved, and constantly wanting to come and get saved. I want to get saved every week. I need to get saved all of the time. You're saved. You're saved by grace. You're saved by what Jesus did on the cross once and for all. We don't have to keep going and get saved. If we're struggling with areas of sin, then we need to bring them to the Lord and surrender them to Him, confess them before Him, and allow His Holy Spirit to work upon our life in that area, and then to change us and work in that, rather than trying to do it in our own strength, where we're going to just struggle and fall. But there's something about we have a seal inside us. There's a promise. The Lord stamps us that you belong to mine. You belong to me. You are mine. Child, you are mine. And the Holy Spirit indwelling within us is like that sign. It's like that seal. It's like that stamp upon our heart. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth." I gave my life to Christ and I've been included in Christ. "The gospel of your salvation, having believed..." Yeah, I believe. "Then I was marked with a seal of the Holy Spirit." I was marked him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. And so we got the Holy Spirit. We're marked. We're His. The Holy Spirit is within our heart, and He is a deposit of guaranteeing our internal inheritance. So I don't ever have to doubt, oh, am I really saved? Am I good enough? Look, I know I'm not good enough. I know Christ is good enough, and I know what He did on the cross, and I know that He is in my life and He's working upon my heart and changing me and conforming me every day more and more to the image of Christ. And so the idea of whether I'm saved or not, that's already been solved. And when we're mindful of Christ in us, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, then I don't have those doubts. I don't have those doubts. And if you're doubting your own salvation and you've actually given your life to Christ and you're still struggling with that, still wonder, am I really saved? Then I pray that there's a revelation. Hang on, the Lord is within my life. He's put His stamp, His seal upon Him. I am His. And the devil's not going to snatch me out of His hand. I belong to God. I am a child of the living God, and I stand safe and secure in that assurance of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And so if you're struggling with that today, don't come and give your life to Christ again. Come and let the Lord just give you that revelation of His Holy Spirit within you, Christ in us. And so it gives us that security. He gives us the security of us knowing that we belong to Him, that we have a promised eternal life. And therefore, we don't live in fear of death. We know that what happens to us, we have an eternity destiny that is 100% rock solid, secure in Jesus Christ. And so we have that seal of our inheritance, and the Holy Spirit is in our heart, and we know for sure. And I pray that if you're still here and you've given your life to Christ and you're still struggling with salvation, I pray that this day there'll be a revelation that Christ is in you. You belong to Him. You belong to the Father. You have eternal life in Christ Jesus. And the other thing is that something begins to change, because we know we can't change ourselves. You tried that before Christ, and what happened then? A lot of good intentions, a lot of heartache, a lot of disappointments, a lot of failure, a lot of falling over on your face and trying to be good enough, trying to get it right. I'll get it right this time. I'll get my act together. And then you fall down again. And you get it, I'll try it. And you just fall down again. And it's this endless struggle. But when Christ is within us, something begins to change, that Christ begins to be revealed in us by his Holy Spirit. Galatians 1:15 says, "But when God, who set me apart from birth," he set you apart from birth, "and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles who do not consult any men," but to have Christ revealed in us. And really, that's what the Christian life is about. It's about knowing who the Lord is, what he's done for us, that Christ will be revealed in our heart and begin to be shown and made known through our lives, that Christ is revealed within us. And it's so important that we understand that. And the other thing about it is it actually helps keep you. You know, when there's temptations or things that could cause you to fall or to astray, when you are mindful, and to be honest, I'm not always mindful of this. And my prayer is, Lord, I want to be more and more mindful of this every moment of every day, that Christ is in me. But when we're mindful of that, that Christ is within us, not just with us, but within us, that when sin and temptation comes across your path, you suddenly find that, hang on a moment, Christ is actually with me. And I don't have to actually face this trial. I don't have to face this temptation. I don't have to face this struggle alone. Christ is actually within me. And knowing that and walking in that actually will keep you. It'll keep you from falling. It'll keep you from straying. And yet, and as I said, we're not always mindful of that all the time. How I wish we were. How I wish I was all of the time mindful of this. And my prayer is more and more, I will grow more mindful of conscious of this, and that all of us will grow more and more. But when we are mindful and conscious of that, it will shield you, it will protect you from sin and from temptation and things that will try to drag you and drag us and try to pull us down. And so it's very, very powerful. And so when Christ is within our heart, we want him to be revealed in our life, that the life that I live, it's no longer I living, but Christ living through me. It says in 1 John 4:12, "No one has ever seen God, but, and there's a but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." And so there's some fruit in that. There's a love that we have for one another that grows and grows and continues to grow. And so there's fruit of that when Christ is revealed in us and through us. So the love that we have for one another really begins to grow. And this was something that the Apostle Paul, that Christ would be made manifest through our lives, was something the Apostle Paul devoted his life and his ministry to. He says in Galatians 4:19, "My dear children, for whom I am again, and in the pains of childbirth," it must be pretty painful, "the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed within you." And in a woman giving birth to a child, at that moment, her entire world, her entire focus is, I've got to deliver this baby. Everything is geared to this moment. Everything is to that moment of delivery. Her energy, her thoughts, everything is this baby has got to come out, this baby. And that was Paul's energy. His thoughts were all that people would have Christ formed within them, that they would be mindful that Christ lives in them, lives in us, the hope of glory. And that certainly was his heart. And when he talks about formed in you, that's the same word. We know the word mortem, blah, 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 blah. I made up my new word then. Anyone got the interpretation of that then? Metamorphosis. And it's the word morpho. And so what it means is literally, and this is what Paul was like, a woman having a baby whose focus was completely on this task. Paul's focus literally was, literally until a mind and life are in complete harmony with the mind and life of Christ that's been formed in us. To have a mind and a life in harmony with Christ. And really, that's what being a Christian is. It's not about I made a transaction, which is when I had salvation, but it's about the ongoing journey, the walk of Christ being revealed and formed in us and changing us from the inside out and living in such a way, which is a way without guilt, it's without shame, it's without fear, it's without bondage. It's with the power of the Lord helping us in our everyday life, and how much we need that. How much that we need that within our life. And so that our mind and our thoughts, our behaviors begin to line up with Christ, the things of God in our life. 2 Corinthians 4:7 reminds us of something. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." And so we know we're all still learning and growing in this. And even though this is incredible treasure of Christ living within me, I know I'm a flawed vessel. I'm a jar of clay. And so I'm still going to make mistakes. I'm still going to do that because I'm not there yet. Christ has not been fully revealed in my life, is not fully coming forth in my life. But our heart as believers is that as we submit and we surrender to the Lord on a daily basis, not a once-off, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, but every day as we, and I'm not talking about getting saved again, I'm talking about, Lord, every day we say, Lord, I just surrender my life to you, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, let your Holy Spirit begin to work upon my life, Lord. Change my thoughts, Lord, my attitudes, Lord, the things I do, the things that I say. Lord, work within my heart and my life, Lord. Lord, I just yield again to you, Lord. Allow me to work in my life. And as we do that, the Lord doesn't leave us wanting. He doesn't leave us in the lurch. He actually is working within our hearts. But I encourage us to be mindful of that every day. And so there's that seal of inheritance that we have, that we know that we belong to God. We have full assurance because Christ is within us. And then our heart is more and more that Christ is revealed within us. And it's the Holy Spirit helping us. Because, you know, give up trying to do it on your own. You know it doesn't work. You tried it before. But with the Lord working within us and us surrendering to him and working in conjunction with him, that then our nature begins to change in terms of our actual attitudes and character, our words, our behaviours, all those things. Sin nature's dealt with, but the outworking in our life, Christ in our life. And so when the other wonderful thing about Christ in us is that I'm never on my own. I'm never alone. Never for one moment are you alone. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so he's always with us. But Christ is in us. Now you just think the power of the living God within our heart. Just think of that. Think about the times when you don't know what to do. There's times I don't know what to do. Think about the times when you don't know what to say. There's times I don't know what to say. Think of those times when you cannot make sense of what is happening in your life and what's going on around you. And you think, what is going on here? But when we face those things, we know that, hang on, Christ is actually in me. And therefore, I'm not going to be fearful in that situation because I'm not in this alone. I might not have the words to say, but the Holy Spirit does, and he's going to help me. He'll give me the words to say. I don't know what to do in my own wisdom. I've got no idea, but God knows everything, and I have the Holy Spirit within my life, and he's going to tell me, he's going to help me navigate through that situation. And so whatever I go through, I know that he is with me. What an amazing to know that. 1 John 4:4, you dear children are from God and overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And so you might feel like, I can't handle this. You might feel I can't cope with this. You may feel like this is too much, and maybe it is, but it's not too much for Christ who's in you. And because of Christ is in you, you're never going to be overwhelmed or destroyed in the circumstances or situations of life. Christ is within you. So we have this incredible strength within us, the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. What an amazing thing that is. If we understood that, we would never have times where we're just in fearful and doubt. And as I said, the problem is we're not always mindful of that. But I pray that, again, that something in our own mind, that hang on, we're going to be aware of this. Hang on, Christ is within me, the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. And so I'm not going to be fearful, and I'm not going to give way to fear and be worried. So many people get gripped with worry. You've got the Holy Spirit within you. You have the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living within you. You have the Lord living within you. Then why should we ever be afraid? Why would we ever be afraid? Why would we ever be fearful? We wouldn't be fearful. Tell you what, if the Lord himself appeared right beside you in his glory and his splendor, and then you'd be down, you'd be like a dead man, you'd be down under the glory of God, just be, wow. But just imagine that in every situation you faced, you actually physically had this incredible presence of God next to you. And how invincible you would feel. The Lord is actually there. Take on the world. No problem. Because the Lord, you know, is actually right there when you faced every situation in life. But he's not just there. He's actually in here. And just imagine our mindset and approach to life, knowing that Christ is within me. And it's just the same as if he was literally, physically standing right next to you in every situation. He is actually living inside our heart. Now, it's a mystery. I don't understand all the how it all works. I don't understand that. But the Bible makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit, he's indwelling inside me. How? I can't explain all of that. It's a mystery, but he is. And so when I face any situation, I'm not going to that exam on my own. I'm not facing that job interview. I'm not facing that doctor's appointment. I'm not facing that situation, that relationship, or whatever circumstance it is. I got the Lord within me. And so I have a confidence in that. Now, he's going to temper me in my words and my behavior because I want Christ to come forth and more and more learning and growing in that. But what an amazing thing to have his power working within our life. Colossians 1:29, and this is what Paul said, "To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me." What was his struggle? His struggle was he wanted to see people come to Christ, and he had all his efforts and energy was trying to see people come to be discipled and growing in the things of Christ. But it wasn't on his own strength. It's with the energy, it's with the strength, it's with the power that the Holy Spirit gives him. Because in our own humanity, we just can't do a lot of stuff. We probably think we can do more than we can. But I tell you what, when people say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," it's not just something that you put on a magnet. It's actually reality in our lives because of the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And so what an amazing thing to live like that. And my prayer this morning, and as we've shared this day, is that we begin to understand, as we talk about heavens and veil, that we actually have Christ living within us. The Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, all that interchangeable terminology. Holy Spirit is living within us, is the most common in the scripture, living within us. And if we can understand that, that it's more than just Jesus gave his life for me and that I gave my life to him. Because if you've stopped there, you're going to struggle in your life. You will struggle. Even though you've given your life to Jesus, you still will struggle. But if we understand that he not only gave his life for us, he gave his life to us, and I have the indwelling of Christ within me, then I'm able then to live this life for him. And it's not a religious duty. It's not struggling with a whole bunch of expectations that I can't do. It's not struggling with a whole lot of rules and things that I just can't follow. It's because Christ is in and he's working within me, and then I can walk in that. And it's so liberating to know that. Otherwise, we get caught in trying to perform, trying to you know, please people, or trying to perform, trying to do work, trying to do stuff. And we get all messed up in our thinking and our mind and in our attitudes and thoughts, our words, whatever. It all can get mixed up. But when we're mindful, and my prayer this morning is that we are mindful of Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that we live in that and we walk in that, and that will enable us to live for Jesus, because that's what we want to do. We want to live for Jesus, amen? And the way that we do that is to allow the Christ in us to be formed and to come forth in our lives. So let's stand and pray. Before we do that, Peter said in Acts 2, you can stand up, Acts 2:38, he said, "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And maybe you're here today, you haven't done the first transaction, and Jesus has already done his bit, he already died on the cross. Maybe you haven't come to this point and saying, "Lord, I want to give my life to you." If that's you, I encourage you to do that this day. If you've won that, you've done that, but you still struggle with assurance of salvation every second day, you wonder whether you're saved or not, or you're struggling and you feel a failure all the time and you just can't get through, then come and get prayer that the Lord will begin to reveal more and more to you what it is to have Christ dwelling within you, the Holy Spirit within your heart. Because it's not supposed to be a big, massive battle. It's, you know, we're still learning and we're all still growing. And so definitely that's true. Paul said, I haven't even made it. I'm not perfectly living out everything, and none of us are, but we're learning on that. And if we can take a big step this day to being mindful of Christ within us, that's going to help us. It's going to maybe break some bondages of guilt and shame and failure and enable us to walk in everything that he has for us. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Lord, that you demonstrated that when you gave your life on the cross for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross. And Lord, what can we do but respond and give our life to you? Lord, whatever, what can we do but to give our life? And Father, I pray if there's anyone here that hasn't received the gift of salvation, Lord, who hasn't had the promise of eternal life, Father, I pray this day, Lord, that they will do that. And Lord, for all of us that are here, I pray there'll be a revelation of Christ indwelling within us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Lord, that will guard us, Lord, in times of temptation. Father, that will mold us and shape us to conform to the image of Christ, Lord, that we'll be more and more like Jesus every day. And Father, for those that may be struggling, I pray this day will be a day of breakthrough in their lives, Lord, in patterns of just sinning and falling and thinking they have to get saved again and always struggling. Lord, let there be a breakthrough this day as we begin to grab a hold a bit more of the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory, Father, that we all may live a life, Lord, that we live for you and for your glory. So, Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, continue to pour your love and grace upon each one. Lord, we're looking forward again for this afternoon that people are going to come to know Jesus Christ. But, Lord, just bless each one now in Jesus' name. If you want prayer, if you've never given your life to Christ, I'd love to pray with you. If you're really struggling and you're honest and just constantly struggling, I would love to pray with you that you'd have that revelation of Christ in you. Bless you.